I think my favorite story about Galrock is a personal one for me. It's when I first became involved with Galrock Lightkeepers as a volunteer in 2008. I went out to Galrock and saw in the basement a tool rack on the wall in the basement, and instantly I was like, no way, that's the tool rack that my great-great-grandfather wrote about installing in the basement in the lighthouse log that I had just recently read. I'm like, it's still there. That's amazing. You know, so that was a personal connection for me right away, and I thought that was really cool.
Thank you, and welcome to A Fresh Air Inspired Life, showcasing Copper Harbor from the inside and the power of kindness, connection, and community. Brought to you by Copper Harbor Vitality, I'm your host, Amanda Wise, and it's great to be here. Today's guest has lived in the Keweenaw all his life, except for, you know, getting away for school. He works for the Keweenaw National Historic Park Service at their big brick office building in Calumet, and he is the board president for the Galrock Lightkeepers. Please welcome Jeremiah Mason. Hey, Jeremiah.
Hello.
So you've lived in the Keweenaw all your life. How do you feel about that? Like, being able to say that?
Oh, I love it. There's no place else I would rather be. My family's been here for generations. Mm. And I enjoyed getting away for school and trying something else out. But I always suspected that I really wanted to come back. And I've definitely found that to be true. There's no place else I'd rather live. I love the Keweenaw. I love the cultural history. I love the natural beauty. There's no better place to live.
Oh, awesome. I would agree. So do you know when your ancestors got here?
The earliest ones came in 1849. Wow. And they went to Onondaga County.
Okay.
But my family that settled in Copper Harbor came in 1864. They bought the Brockway house from the Brockways, the big house at the bottom of the hill near the harbor.
Uh-huh.
When you come into town, and they lived there. They ran a hotel there. They ended up buying up a whole lot of property in Copper Harbor, and they were best known as lightkeepers.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of why I first got interested in Galrock Lighthouse also. But my Uncle Hugh, my great-great-grandfather's brother,
okay,
fought in the Civil War and was wounded, and he got a government position as a lighthouse keeper at Manitou Island.
Wow.
Because of his being wounded during the war. And so he drowned on his way to Manitou. He never was able to, like, man the station. And after he died, his father was named lightkeeper instead, my three-great-grandfather, Charles Corgan. And
wow.
So he started out lightkeeping because of that in the 1860s, and was at Manitou Island, and was later at the Copper Harbor Lighthouse.
Oh my gosh, this is so fascinating to hear your stories. I'm so glad you wanted to meet. This is really cool. Our listeners are going to just be like, oh my god, this is such good stuff. Brockway Mountain and everything. That's so cool. Oh my gosh. So because your family has been here for so long, is that why you started working for the Keweenaw National Historic Park, or what got you into that?
Yeah, I've always been interested in historic buildings, and I thought about going into historic preservation. I thought about architecture school. I interned at UP Engineers and Architects in high school and decided that I was mostly interested in historic preservation. And so I went to architecture school, but I always thought I would go to grad school for historic preservation. And then started volunteering with Keweenaw National Historical Park when I was in college, and in the Preservation Services Division, working with those sorts of programs, you know, working to document and preserve historic buildings. But then when I was in college, I decided to go to grad school for archives instead. Mm. And so then started working in the archives here at Keweenaw National Historical Park, and then eventually went to grad school for archives and became the archivist for Keweenaw. And
wow.
And then when the Lake Superior Collection Management Center was established in 2013, I became the archivist for Isle Royale National Park and for Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore as well.
Wow, that's amazing. What, I don't know, what a title, like what a person to be. That is so cool. Congrats. That's very interesting.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. So can you tell us just something, you're an archivist, so you know so much about the Keweenaw. What's one of your most interesting stories about the area that you think people might not have ever heard of?
Oh, wow.
I know, big question. Let's dig. Let's get in some brand new.
Yeah.
Brand new history.
Oh, there's a lot of fascinating things that I come across every day, almost every day, you know, but maybe some of them, sometimes other people wouldn't think were so fascinating. So kind of related to Gull Rock Lighthouse and getting out to the lighthouses off the tip of the Keweenaw, I really love going to Manitou Island as well. And one thing I thought was really fascinating when I learned it was that the state of Michigan had at some point in the late 19th century, I think, considered building a prison on Manitou Island.
Whoa.
And I thought that would be pretty amazing. Like, can you imagine if there was this 19th century prison, like, abandoned on Manitou Island? Like, how fun that would be to, like,
oh,
go explore
God.
And stuff like that. That just kind of fired my imagination. So I thought that was pretty interesting when I learned that.
Wow, that is cool. I've never heard about that. So for any of our listeners that don't know where Manitou Island is, can you orient us and just explain where that is located?
Oh, sure. So the Keweenaw, the tip of the Keweenaw Keweenaw Point is at one end of the tip of the Keweenaw, actually, and in the east end of the peninsula is actually kind of flat, straight, mm-hmm. north-south, and High Rock Bay is there along that end of the peninsula, and Gull Rock Lighthouse is 2.5 miles from High Rock Bay, and then the western end of Manitou Island, Fadner Point, is another 0.5 mile east of Gull Rock, and then Manitou Island itself extends about 3 miles further east, and it's about 0.5 mile wide. Mm. So it's there at pretty much in the middle of Lake Superior at the end of the Keweenaw Peninsula, and there's nothing but the lake for another 125 miles east of the Manitou Light until you get to the eastern shore in Ontario.
Yeah, very cool. Thank you. So who currently owns Manitou Island and the lighthouse?
So at Manitou, most of the island is owned by the state of Michigan. There are a few private parcels out there,
some at
Fadner Point, some on Fisherman's Bay. And then the east end of the island, a 91-acre parcel, is currently owned by the Keweenaw Land Trust, and that's where the lighthouse is. That's the old Manitou Light Station Reservation, they called it. That was the federal government's property that they reserved for lighthouse use.
Okay, wow. And I understand that this could be a long answer, but can you give us some of the history of that lighthouse and then how it became abandoned over time?
Sure. The Manitou Light was one of the earliest lights built on Lake Superior, and it first was built in, to look.
Brief looking up in the binder. He's got so much information, guys. He's got a lot.
So Manitou was first built in 1861.
Oh, okay.
And it was reconstructed shortly thereafter, but it's a steel skeletal light tower with an attached wood frame dwelling. It looks a lot like Whitefish Point Lighthouse, but Manitou actually has it's in worse shape, it's in worse condition than the Whitefish Point light, but it has higher integrity in some ways, especially in the tower itself. It still has like the curved paneling inside the tower and the two sets of curved double doors, which I think are really cool.
Yeah.
But then Gull Rock Lighthouse was built in 1867. Gull Rock is a tiny little half acre rock in the middle of the lake, and the lighthouse is built on the highest point of Gull Rock. The Manitou Light was built to mark the end of the Keweenaw, where the shipping lane would turn when you're coming from Sault Ste. Marie and then go up towards what's now known as Thunder Bay or down to the head of the lake at Duluth.
Okay.
So that was kind of the turning point in Lake Superior. The Keweenaw marks that turning point, and it's kind of an obstacle in the middle of the lake, of course, but so they wanted to mark that, and then the Gull Rock Light was built to mark the shoal there between Manitou Island and the end of the Keweenaw Peninsula.
Okay, so the two lighthouses on that island that help mark those channels. Oh wow, cool, that's very interesting. I know you recently took a trip out there, right? Last week or something?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago I was out for the first time this summer.
Okay, so what do you do when you go out there? Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's a great place. It's a beautiful place. It's great to be out there in the middle of the lake, and it's great to be at the lighthouse. I bring some volunteers out, and we try to do some work maintaining basic maintenance and housekeeping type work. You know, this year, because of all the rain we've had, the mayflies were really late and still going strong. Wow. When we were out there were just swarms of them. Wow. and so that kind of thwarted some of our housekeeping attempts while we were there. They just kept coming. So hopefully a little bit later this summer we'll be able to get that taken care of once they've all died off. But that's, you know, basically what we do. We try to just we have a battery powered shop vac that was donated to the organization, and so we try to sweep and clean up and vacuum everything, and as we've been going out more regularly, we've been able to do more and more of that. Mm-hmm. And so we've started to do some, you know, scrubbing the woodwork and things like that. Last summer I had the lantern so clean. Whoa. Like the cleanest it's been in decades. No bugs, no spiders.
Wow.
It was terrific. Yeah. So hopefully this summer we'll be able to get it to that point again when we go out. We also met our contractor out there. All the work, all the restoration work so far at Gull Rock has been done by Robert E. Johnson from Trap Rock Valley.
Okay.
That company, REJ Construction. Mm-hmm. And they've done an excellent job. We've had a lot of work done, and so we had them out just to look at doing some roof maintenance, restaining the roof, and doing some scraping and painting of the eaves, and some other things like that, just sort of basic maintenance. When Gull Rock Lightkeepers was established in 2004, the light hadn't been occupied since 1913. It was one of the earliest lights automated on Lake Superior. It was automated in 1913. Mm. And they had boarded up, even bricked up maybe the entrance to the dwelling from the light tower. The Coast Guard maintained the light, and they still do. But the dwelling was closed up and hadn't been entered since 1913. It was like a time capsule. They had taken everything out of the building when they closed the station, but it was in very poor condition. There had been a lot of holes in the roof and a lot of holes in the floor inside. Mm. Because of that, a lot of the floors had collapsed into the basement from both the second floor and the first floor. So it was a pretty major job then. In the summer of 2008, we had volunteers who cleaned out the lighthouse by hand. We filled three dumpsters of debris from the roof and the floors that had all collapsed into the basement. And that's the year we had the roof replaced at Gull Rock in 2008. It has a historically accurate shingled roof, cedar shingles, stained red. And
Lovely.
Yeah, and then subsequently since then, we've also managed to raise funds to restore the interior floor structures. So now that's all rebuilt with rough milled cedar floor joists and plywood subfloors. But the joists are exactly like the ones that were there historically, and that's all rebuilt. And so it's all solid and stable and much safer than it was in the past. And we have a volunteer who's now a board member who has a summer place in Copper Harbor, Roger Welsh, and he built some temporary windows for us as well. We hope to have the original windows restored and replaced in kind where they need to be eventually, but in the meantime, it's really great to have those windows with screens and some plexiglass panels that open. And yeah, so it makes it much more habitable. It's great to get out there. We can camp out in the lighthouse when we bring people out to do some maintenance and cleanup work out there. Brushing too is another big thing that we do every year, just to try to keep the brush from growing too close to the foundation and actually in the sea walls. And we want to restore all of that eventually, but if we can just keep it from deteriorating further in the meantime, that's a big thing. This year we also mowed the grass for the first time. Ooh. There's a tiny little yard in front of the lighthouse, and we did manage to cut the grass this year.
Mowing the lawn.
Sort of restore the cultural landscape a little bit.
Oh, wow. Okay, so when you're over there, you might spend a couple nights to do all these things? Okay. Yeah. And then I'm really curious, you said when your great-great uncle or something like that, your first ancestor was going to go over there. He died on his way. So that tells us, you know, that the lake, she can be rough. But what boat do you guys take when you get there? Because you're not going to hopefully have those casualties.
No. definitely not. No. So in those days, they rowed from Copper Harbor to Gull Rock and to Manitou, didn't think much of it. Like my great great grandfather, when he became a lightkeeper, also he wrote in the lighthouse log once about rowing from Copper Harbor and getting caught in some weather and losing his rudder and getting washed up on the shore near the tip of the Keweenaw and spending a cold night in the woods. But then he wrote that he got up the next morning and cut down a tree and made himself a new rudder and continued on his way, because that's just what you did in those days, right?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But when we go out now, he also eventually had a steam launch that he acquired when he could afford it, and that was much better than rowing 16 miles. Was happy to get that. And when we go out, we use an inflatable dinghy that was donated to the organization from by one of our board members, and we have it's a 12-foot Achilles, and we have a 20-horse Mercury on it, which is pretty nice,
and that'll do the trick.
Yeah, it's perfect for what we need, because there's no dock at Gull Rock, and the crossing is shortest from High Rock Bay. It's 2.5 miles from there. So we put in, you know, we can throw the boat in the back of a pickup truck with the motor and go out to High Rock and inflate it with foot pumps and mount the motor on there and head over to Gull Rock. And we can launch from the beach at High Rock, and we can land on the beach at Gull Rock, no problem. Wow. It's like the best thing for it.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and those boats are really safe. It's the boat that everybody uses for search and rescue, and everybody uses for life rafts and all that kind of stuff. So
it's stable and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's a great thing.
Wow, thanks for really illustrating that process of getting the boat out there and pumping it up. I don't know. That's just really fun to think about.
Yeah.
So then what do you and your crew do from the mainland to help maintain the lighthouse out there?
Well, mostly what we do is we try to keep up with the bureaucratic stuff. All the, you know, you have to do the nonprofit reporting there's a preservation easement on the lighthouse that's held by the National Park Service, and The State Historic Preservation Office is also part of the compliance team for that. So all the work that we do out there has to be reviewed by the National Park Service and by the State Historic Preservation Office. And so there's biennial reports that we have to do with them. And then, you know, we just try to raise funds. We've been very lucky in the past to have received Michigan Lighthouse Assistance Program grants. So those provide a 2-to-1 match. So we only have to raise a third of the total cost of the restoration work.
Awesome.
And that's amazing.
That's huge,
yeah. And right now we're looking into applying for some grants and things like that. We would love to have more bigger private donations. We certainly appreciate all the donations we get, but the next big project at Gull Rock is going to be restoring the exterior masonry. Over the years, the masonry was painted. Gull Rock Lighthouse used to be yellow Cream City brick, just like the Copper Harbor Lighthouse, but it was subsequently painted by the Coast Guard at some point and then repainted over the years, and the paint didn't breathe and it trapped moisture in the masonry walls, and so the hard face of the brick is very thin, and when the water gets trapped behind it and can't evaporate out because of the paint, it pops the face off the brick. It all spalls, and so about 80% of the exterior brick at Gull Rock needs to be replaced.
Wow.
And that's a big job.
That is a big job.
So we need to raise some major funds to get that done. So we're trying every avenue we can think of now, and we are gonna have our website. Unfortunately, got sort of taken over. It was a hostile takeover online. But we have a new one that's going to launch here pretty quickly.
Okay.
And so people could find that hopefully, if not by the time this is online, hopefully shortly thereafter, it'll be at Gull Rock Lightkeepers. No, I'm sorry. GullRockLighthouse.org.
GullRockLighthouse.org.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Look that up after this comes out and make your donation to save the masonry. That sounds awesome. Cool. I was going to ask you, what
that
can our listener
awesome.
To do to help?
Yeah.
So does anyone take tours out there? Probably not, huh? You guys just go out there to do your thing, or does anyone?
Yeah, it's difficult to get there. Occasionally people will kayak out.
Sure.
We don't really recommend that.
Okay. I've never done it because it sounds scary.
Yeah, There are the waves and the currents and the winds at the tip of the Keweenaw are crazy. A lot of times you get this like crosshatch wave pattern. A lot of times you get some surprising currents. A lot of times there's even like whirlpools that will form just because like the currents are going in so many different directions right there.
Yeah.
And it can be dangerous for especially for people who are inexperienced, but even for the most experienced kayaker, I would say it's a spot to be really careful. So we don't encourage people to go out, but sometimes people do kayak out there. It's a fairly long kayak in the middle of the lake, 2.5 miles out there. And otherwise people do swing in close to look at the lighthouse from boats, but most of the time they can't get very close because of the shoals.
Sure.
Which is why the inflatable dinghy works perfectly for us, because we can go right up and beach it. Sometimes people with a cabin cruiser or something like that will anchor and launch a dinghy and do that, but that's pretty rare, relatively rare also.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So besides fixing that, the bricks on the exterior, what are your hopes for the future of the Gull Rock in Manitou?
Yeah, well, I would love to see both lights restored or rehabilitated. And for Gull Rock, we have a plan or a dream of making it available to people to have some sort of like keeper in residence program so that people could apply to stay out there for maybe an extended period of time. And help maintain the light, but also just for security to keep it safe.
Yeah.
And if people do end up stopping by to provide some interpretation of the history of the light and help people learn about it and the organization and what's going on out there.
Wow. Thanks. Anything else you want to say about that? Anything else at all?
It's a long time off yet, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We won't be able to do that for a while.
Sure.
We got to finish the exterior brickwork restoration and get the windows and doors and shutters restored, and then do the interior restoration and rehabilitation. So it'll be a while yet before we're ready to host people there. But I do look forward to being able to do that at some point.
Yeah, cool. So totally different subject. What do you like to do for fun here in the Keweenaw?
Besides going out to Gull Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like to bike and I like to camp. I'm not a very technically adept biker. I should do it more often probably. Mm. But I enjoy doing that, and I love the community here and knowing people and hanging out with people, and I'm involved at church too. I'm a deacon for the Calumet parishes and for the parish in Amik and for Our Lady of the Pines in Copper Harbor and Holy Redeemer in Eagle Harbor. I don't get out to those places too much. Mostly I'm in Calumet, but yeah, I'm assigned there too, so it's part of the deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And do you have any words of wisdom for us? I love this question.
Oh, I would say don't spend time online. Don't get distracted by things you can't do anything about, but instead look for ways that you can help your neighbors and help your community and do the good things that are right there in front of you, and always have a healthy respect for Lake Superior.
Oh, that is great advice. Nice. Thank you so much. Thanks so much for talking with us, Jeremiah.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked me too. I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, awesome. And thank you, dear listener, for making it through another episode of A Fresh Air Inspire Life. If you are one of the wonderful people who supports this podcast, I thank you so much. Till next time, dig a little deeper into your history and be good to yourself. Ba 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 da 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 ba ba da ba da.